You have your Bibles, turn with me please over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 6. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Our needs this morning are as unique as we are, but we've all come to hear from you. So at the end of the hour, may it be your word enforced, highlighted, by your Holy Spirit that we leave with. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you last week that we will see that this is a very, very personal ending to this letter that Paul writes to Pastor Timothy. It is the last letter that we know he wrote, the last letter that we have recorded for us in Scripture. And as personal as the opening paragraph was, this one is even more so. We closed last week with this challenge from Paul to Pastor Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Remember, I told you that that's where we start. Paul is writing to Timothy, so we need to understand what Paul was saying to Timothy and why he was saying it to Timothy. But when we started this series of 1 Timothy and Titus and 2 Timothy, I told you that I would move to that level of making sure I understood what Paul was saying to me as your pastor. But we can't stop there either. Because while Paul was writing to Timothy and Titus, and to pastors all through the centuries, generations of the church, he's also writing to every one of us. You should see in your pastor an example, flawed, an example of these principles. Why? Well, one, so that you know for sure he's someone that should be in the position, but two, because he needs to be someone you can follow. Someone giving you an example, not just of what a pastor is supposed to be, but what every believer is supposed to be. So at no point are any of us off the hook, as it were, for the truths of God's word. So when Paul says to Timothy, fulfill your ministry, do the work. And keep doing it until I tell you, you're done, God saying to Timothy. God saying to Pastor Dan, do your job until I tell you you're done. Until you've done it all. But remember, you too, by virtue of salvation, have within you the person of the Holy Spirit who gifts you 1 Corinthians 12, who gifts you in a way to minister to his church. No one was saved to sit and watch and listen. Everyone was saved to do something. So while Paul is talking to Timothy and Titus and every pastor, he's also talking to you and saying, fulfill your ministry. When we're done, we'll be looking at four questions that Paul wants Timothy to ask and he wants you and me to ask as well. But he begins with his own example. Paul tells us where he's at, where he's been, where he's going. The present, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Pretty clear in that last phrase, isn't it? Paul has been in prison many times. He is convinced this is the last time, and he will not be walking out. Not only that, but he's fairly certain that the time is drawing close. But how does he describe himself as he sees his death coming? I see myself as already being poured out as a drink offering. Now, I think you have to be Jewish and maybe a Pharisee to really appreciate the picture that Paul is painting. You may remember he challenged the church through his letter to the church in Rome to be a living sacrifice, to give ourselves, our lives totally over to God and his direction, giving up all claim to ourselves, giving ourselves to him, living that kind of a sacrifice. For the Jews in the tabernacle and then in the temple, there were also offerings that were poured out on the hot rocks that gathered there on the altar. They would be brought and poured out all completely. And what would happen? Steam would rise. And a beautiful picture of this offering, usually a thank offering of some sort, rising up as though, like a prayer, going up to God, a prayer of thanksgiving. Paul says, when I look at my life right now, I feel like one of those offerings. It's being poured out all the way. There's not a drop left. I've given everything I have to give. And when that last drop falls and the steam rises, my departure will come. I'm convinced that's what's next. When I have given the last ounce that I can, I'm done. That's what my life has become. The past, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. On more than one occasion in his letters, he doesn't dwell on it. It's clear that it's not something that consumes him. But there is the hint that Paul is something of a sportsman. He likes the idea of the games. On more than one occasion, he speaks of the sweet science, boxing, and running. And he says, you know, there are a lot of parallels between going to a field of competition, matching your skill against another, and seeing who the best man is. To life. Have you prepared well? Did you compete well? How'd you do? He says, I have fought the good fight. Now, what is the good fight for the Apostle Paul? He's made it very clear that wherever I am, in whatever circumstances I am, I am going to represent the God who loves me, the Christ who died for me, the Holy Spirit within me. That's why Paul could say, I have learned to be content wherever I am. Did Paul prefer teaching outdoors to large groups and being able to personally disciple and encourage individuals? I don't know, but probably. But he could, at the same time as he is now chained to at least one guard in the Mamertine prison in Rome, and appreciate the fact that every 8 hours he gets somebody new to share the gospel with. I know that because when he was in prison before, he did the very same thing, and he writes of how the gospel penetrated the army, the ruling class. How did that happen? Through men like him who shared the gospel at every opportunity, whatever the circumstance. And remember, it's the Apostle Paul who says, I have been privileged to suffer for Christ. That's hard to say, let alone mean. Put those words together. I have been privileged to suffer for Christ. But Paul says that on more than one occasion. He even prays for those whom he's writing that you too would be worthy to suffer for Christ. How do you keep a guy like that down? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. There's that idea again. I got it done. I know what God put me here to do, and I have done it. I didn't stop. I didn't quit. I finished. And then he says, I have kept the faith. And in context there, it's very tempting to leave it at, in other words, I fought, I ran, and I did it according to the rules. We've just finished this recent Olympic Games. And all of the heartache that has been created over the simple issue of competing according to the rules. Doing it right. And when you don't, the ripple effects of that. So in the context, Paul is saying, I did all that I was called to do, and I did it right. I did it the way I was supposed to. according to the rules. And that's true, but I don't know that we want to leave it at that level because he uses the word faith. I have kept the faith through it all, the fight, the course, traveling to all of those churches, discipling all of those new believers, some who became pastors, other missionaries. Through all of that, through all the imprisonments, beatings, once left for dead, never did I forsake the faith. Never did I deny Christ. And on every occasion, whatever the circumstances, I taught Christ. I raised him up. I made sure they were looking and hearing him. However they responded, accepted or not, whatever the circumstances, I shared Christ. I kept the faith. Therefore, then, the future. What Paul is anticipating, what he's looking forward to. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There is more in this verse even than what I had realized. Paul is looking forward to heaven. And he has taught, and we understand, that there will be rewards. There will be for those who have been faithful, for those who've completed the course, for those who fought the good fight. There will be recognition of faithfulness. And this is only one little glimpse of what that may be. But he says, for me, there's laid up this crown of righteousness. And in Paul's day, when they talked about a crown, and he uses the word for the crown that was given it at the games. Again, that sports theme, if you will. But the crown that was given at the games was a laurel wreath. And the significance, obviously, isn't the crown. It's what it stands for. You've finished. You've succeeded. What did he finish? What has he succeeded at? Well, he says, it's this crown of righteousness. Now, on this side of the sod, as it were, I heard Dan say earlier, but on this side of the veil, that crown of righteousness, or this righteousness, remember, is a life that reflects right choices. Again, imperfectly, but right choices. Right choices that reflect an understanding of God's word. But when Paul speaks of this crown of righteousness, he's speaking of a time when he will be recognized as one who truly is righteous. Now, how does that happen? Well, it's only after we've not only deal with the penalty of sin or the power of sin, but also the very presence of sin. Those who are recognized for a life characterized by right choices get this crown. He says, I'm looking forward to that. And it's a crown that will be given to all. He says, who have loved his appearing. And I think I've only understood half of that. I've always understood it to mean those who are really looking forward to seeing Jesus. And I've used the example of kids left at home and maybe told, stay out of the cookie jar. And at some point, it just got too long and too hard, and they got into the cookie jar. And somehow, it was going to be impossible to cover it up. Cookie jar got broken, cookie crumbs all over. I don't know, but somehow, now, mom and dad are coming. Do you look forward to seeing mom and dad? Not as much as you would have, because there will be consequences for getting into the cookie jar. Well, when our lives are characterized by righteousness, will there still be that sense of fear and awe when we see Jesus, the one who died for our sins, and we're reminded again of how we still would take them out and play with them every once in a while? But if our lives are characterized by right choices, we're looking forward to seeing Jesus. And I think that's still true. But notice he says those who have loved his appearing. So it would also go all the way back to salvation. Those who have loved and just lived in the fact that God loves me and Jesus died for me and he's my Savior. All the way back to when I understood that, and it became real to me. And we get to celebrate that for eternity. Well, there are at least four questions that come out of this. Obviously, Timothy, Pastor Dan, you all. Fulfilling your ministry? Do you even know what your ministry is? Do you know how you have been gifted by the Holy Spirit to serve others? You should. You can. And it's as individual as we are, how you can serve. But are you doing it? Are you fulfilling it? Are you accomplishing what you were given to accomplish here and now? Are you being poured out? And I think the part of that picture that sticks in my mind is that last drop. All the way. Nothing left. Nothing held back. But I gave it all. Athletes understand that. Soldiers understand that. Giving it all. Nothing held back in service to the one who loves me. Keeping the faith, whatever the circumstances. When things are going really, really well and when things aren't. And I struggle with that. When something happens that just amazes me, I can be so thankful immediately. And when something falls apart, sometimes in my very hands, I can be really, really frustrated. What I need to do is understand that God is in both. God's there to encourage and he's there to challenge. And both should draw me closer to him. If I'm keeping the faith, if I believe that he's in charge, I can thank him when things go really, really well, and I should also be able to thank him when things don't. Because he's in charge. It may have surprised me, but it didn't surprise him. He knows exactly how it fits into my life and into how I need to respond to it to become more like Christ. This is an episode in my life that God has provided to bring me closer to him, if I will let it. Then finally, looking forward to his appearing. His having appeared that day of salvation, when it became real to you, recognizing that God loved you and Jesus died for you. But then also looking forward to that time when he will reappear in person. For the church, that day when the Father says to the Son, go get your church. And we'll get to see him. Nobody else will, but we will. The rest of the world's going to wonder where we went and what in the world happened. But we'll get to see him. And we will be with him for eternity. Are you looking forward to that? Paul's time is short. And there are some things he really wants Timothy to know. Because he loves him. Paul's time is short, and there are some things God wants all of us to know. And he's using Paul to teach us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use then to challenge those of us who need to be challenged, to encourage those of us who need to be encouraged, and maybe for some of us, a little bit of both. But it all has something to do with your word, what you have said. May we leave here thinking about fulfilling my ministry, emptying myself completely, staying true to what I know is true, the faith. And truly looking forward to seeing you. Thank you for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.